Welcome back. As a reminder, we are recording a series of three episodes where we are focusing on family members who have become caregivers, which I'm sure applies to so many of our listeners out there. In our last episode, we had a profound conversation with our dear friend, Howard Krugel. And today we are going to be talking to my friend, Alyssa Riddle. So Alyssa and I met at yoga, originally because she works at the front desk and she is the joyous, happy, smiling face that we see. The minute that we walk in the door, she greets everyone with this warmth and familiarity, which makes us feel really special when we walk into the studio. And recently, she actually started teaching at the studio, having completed her teacher training and really worked her way through the ranks to get a teaching job at that studio, which is a big deal. It's a very highly regarded studio, Citizen Yoga, and they choose their instructors wisely. It made sense to me that Alyssa would be teaching, and she does this with the same care and compassion that she does with everything. So I wasn't completely surprised to learn that she is serving in a caregiver role, because she exudes everything that you would need to have that role. The piece that was really shocking for me is that she's young, and she has been doing this basically for about a third of her life. So we know that, listen, at our age, it's pretty likely that you are going to encounter a parent or some relative who needs help and care. But when that happens to you at 21, and you're deeply immersed in it at 33, it really changes the trajectory of your life. So while we all focus on the idea that if it's not one thing, it's Joanna in this case, if it's not one thing, it's Alyssa's dad.
Alyssa's dad, this is really quite amazing what she's doing with her dad. And again, like you mentioned, at that age, it wasn't even on my radar until very recently, relatively. I'm mid-50s, but I don't think it was. I mean, obviously, with dad, it was on the radar, but I wasn't here. You know, I was living in China. And with mom, I was more on the ground seeing some of the later stages of the trajectory. Obviously, you saw the beginning stages, but I can't imagine if I was 20 years younger and having to deal with these things. That's pretty incredible stuff. Look forward to hearing what he has to say.
Yeah, and I will hold off on the details until we start chatting with Alyssa. But I just feel like, you know, you're still developing yourself. I think there's some statistics about how your frontal lobe develops and when that is. When you're in your 20s, you're a kid. I mean, at 21, we were in college and we were doing all the things that college kids do. And then for years after that, really living our lives and experiencing all that everything had to offer at the point in your life where you should be doing all those things. And I'm certainly not saying that Alyssa wasn't living her life. I'm just saying that to have something like that in the back of your mind always, or really in the forefront of your mind, has got to be pretty incredible. I mean, that's the stage where you're still expecting your parents to care for you in some capacity. So really talk about a role reversal at a shocking time.
So we're going to take a little break. Here's mom and we'll be right back.
But I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all. Till there was you. There were sighs in the sky, but I never knew you knew me, because I was one of those news, tempest for you.
So we are continuing a conversation about caring for caregivers or caregivers caring for themselves, and we're joined by the lovely Alyssa Riddle. Alyssa, you and I know each other through our yoga world, and I feel like we've actually kind of gotten to know each other over the last couple years, but it was really interesting to me when we started our podcast and you texted me to tell me you were listening, which just made my day. And then you shared some unique story about your father, and I think it's meaningful to bring up because you're young and you are deeply immersed in a role that people my age are familiar with, but people your age are not. So I'm just going to let you tell us a little bit about what's going on with you and your family.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for that introduction. And thank you both so much for having me on your podcast. Yeah, I'm so grateful to be here and to share, because it is, you know, it's something that has felt very lonely in this journey being so young. I'm 33 right now, but when my dad kind of had his big stuff happen and like transitioning into caregiving, I was 21. So, you know, it was a huge learning process and it still is. I didn't think I was going to have to take care of a parent until I was like in my 50s. You know? But so just to like kind of give the background story of my dad and, you know, this, the situations, my dad suffered from a massive stroke when I was 21. And yeah, it just, it did a total 180 on his life.
If you don't mind my asking, how old was he when this happened?
So let's see, my dad is now 70. Oh my gosh, he was born in 48. So he's 76, I think, right now, or 77 or something like that. He's in his 70s now, but he was still in his 60s because this was like 11 years ago or more. But yeah, so he was in his 60s. He'd only been retired maybe like 4 or 5 years. And then shortly after, suffered, yeah, just a massive stroke. And, you know, it was a very big shock and surprise because there was nothing like leading up to any of this. However, strokes are genetic and my dad's dad had some strokes and things like that. So, but yeah, there was just no like precursor to any of it. It just tragically happened super sudden and it pretty much did a 180 on his entire life. He can't talk. But like when he does talk, he kind of sounds, and this isn't me making fun of my dad, this is just me kind of explaining, is he kind of sounds like the Charlie Brown teacher. Like when he's talking, his response just is kind of like, it's like there's a kind of a misfire with verbalizing.
By the way, we're very into turning misfortunate conditions of our parents into humor. Even if it sounds a bit morbid sometimes. So it's a humor encouraged zone here. Feel free to continue with
and
that.
And honestly, a great coping mechanism. So if you cannot find some levity in a challenging situation, then it becomes even more challenging for sure.
For sure. Absolutely. But so, yeah, so he can't like physically verbalize like words that how we're communicating. He has paralysis on the right side of his body. So when he had his stroke, it affected the whole left side of his brain. And so he kind of lost all of that. And so that caused then the paralysis on the right side, which then is kind of the reason why he has the trouble speaking. He has the trouble with like decision making. The left side of your brain is very logical, where the right side is very creative.
So it really took a toll on his verbal, his logical, his decision, that whole side of your brain, which is encompasses all of that, where the right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. And then it also is like your art, your creativity, things like that. Because what's interesting is, you know, we can put a song on for my dad that he knows and he can sing it and say it word for word, like how we're speaking right now.
So he can hear fine.
He can hear fine. And so this is where it gets a little kind of mucky of like whether he's incompetent or not, you know, because he can't actually say kind of like he can't have a conversation like this, but he can shake his head yes and no. But sometimes, you know, with the decision making, we have to ask him things a couple of times. And we being me and my brother, I have an older brother, very similar story to you guys. I actually have two older brothers, and my middle brother is who my dad lives with and who is his like full-time caretaker. And then our eldest brother, he lives out of state. He lives in Texas. And so it was very similar to your story, which is why I was like, I really relate with all of you so much and like how you went through that process.
And so he can, when he's speaking those words from the song, he's physically sounding normal. Those words are coming out. So he can physically produce them. He just, those signals are crossed in other settings on how to produce those words. And then, and so his, and so he, and he can't walk and he can't write. Is that, I guess those are three questions for you right there.
Yes. So when a song is playing and he knows it, he can pretty much say it word for word, exactly how it sounds. And then with writing, he can copy. And same with, if I was to say to my dad, I love you, and he looks at me while I say it, he can mimic it. But for him to just say, I love you, it won't come out that way. It's like there's this misfire that kind of happens between the thought and like the processing of the word to when it comes out of the mouth.
That's not continue.
So the writing, no, he can, if we write out a word, he can kind of like mimic it. But for him to just give him a pen and paper and tell him to write his name, he'll kind of look at you like, what are you asking me to do?
That's.
So let's dig into the nature of the caregiving role, whether it's you or your brother. So can you tell us a little bit about what your roles are?
Yes. So my dad currently lives with my middle brother. And my brother and his wife are two amazing human beings. They pretty much take care of my dad full. Well, they do. They take care of my dad full time. However, what is sort of nice is the care isn't super intense. You know, my dad can take himself to and from the bathroom, but does need assistance showering. He needs some assistance getting, you know, dressed and undressed to like, you know, go to bed or to like get up from his chair. Because my dad is wheelchair bound. But for the most part, he can kind of maneuver himself around. My dad likes to watch a lot of movies, so he can kind of play with his DVD player and do that. And then for like making meals and things like that, my brother and his wife, they handle all of that. So they are just like two amazing human beings. They really do so much for my dad on a daily basis.
Are they living with him?
Yes, my dad lives with them. As for myself, because I live 2 hours south from where they're at, my role is pretty small. When I go up there, which I try to go up there as frequently as I can, sometimes it's more than others. But I try to, when I go up there, to do my best to help my brother with showering, shaving my dad, you know, helping him brush his teeth, getting him ready for bed with meals, anything like that I can, because, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. On top of it, you know, my brother and his wife, they have three little boys. So they really are like doing, you know, the work of, you know, an assisted living, because my dad was in assisted living when this all kind of first happened. And then we made the decision to move my dad home with my brother and his wife.
And so you don't have any other care on board. You don't have people coming in. Wow, that is a lot.
No other care. There are times if my brother and his wife are going to go out of town and say, I can't come up there, or if they're going to, you know, be gone. My sister-in-law's family is really sweet and they'll like pop in and come see my dad. We have video cameras around, or we have used a service called Visiting Angel, and they'll come and sit with my dad and help him as well. But sometimes they're not available. And so that's challenging. You know, my brother and his wife, they live by Bay City area. They're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And so the lack of care and finding care becomes even smaller versus being in a big city.
So you have a full-time job in addition to this. And I would imagine your brother and his wife probably do too. How do you balance all of this time?
So thankfully, my brother is like a contracted worker. So he does freelance for himself. And my sister-in-law, she takes care of the three kids, which is a full-time job. But so thankfully, they don't have jobs that they have to leave home for. And it's kind of just been this like agreement that my dad lives there, like let my dad help like with financial things and things of that nature. And so for myself, I work full time. And so for me, you know, I can't get up there and help as much as I would like to, sadly. But I will, you know, I have told them, like, they went on vacation a few months ago. And so I went up and stayed for a week and, you know, watched my dad, hung out with him. We did all the things and whatnot. And so.
And when you do that, you have to take time off from your job.
Yes, I have to take time off from my job. And, you know, and then it's, and then we kind of play this game where then my brother, you know, like he's paid me then, you know, for the help, the care, which it's not about the money, you know what I mean? But it is
time off from your job and you're not earning money. Now you've got a whole other situation going on. So it's challenging.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's challenging. It's challenging. You know, when this all first happened, we did have my dad in an assisted living home, which was a great home. They truly did do a really good job with my dad and taking care of him. And this was when he was down by me, and so I could go and see him quite a bit, and then it was far from my brother, but it was still, I think for us, you know, like, it was better to know kind of what was going on with my dad, because, and this is not to talk anything bad about, you know, homes and things like that, but the care just isn't the same as if you were going to do it yourself.
Don't we,
you
know?
And it's hard because I've also, you know, years ago worked in an assisted living home, and they have one person to like 20 people. And so I've seen either side. And so I never get mad necessarily at the people. It's just there's not enough help. There's not enough help. And so that's why, like, this whole thing is just really kind of, I mean, excuse my French, but it's like ass backwards. They don't pay very well to these workers that are doing the work. And we're dealing with like human lives, but that's a whole other conversation. You know what I mean?
But you bring up the point, a valuable one, which is that you are in fact leading into one of the main reasons why we're all taking care of our parents in this case, because as much as we understand that shortage in the caregiving industry, for those of us who are able to, we want to be able to do this on our own because we want them to get the care they need. So those discussions all tie in together. I do want to ask you for your, and you had mentioned to me also that for a while you were kind of doing the yeoman's work of the care. And so you sort of transferred it to your brother, similar to the situation with us where I was doing the bulk of it before Andrew was able to come here and do this. And one of the things I noticed was just my own level of stress. And so I wonder how you and your brother, and for that matter, I guess his wife, cope with that stress level. And what do you do to take care of yourself when you're so busy caring for your dad?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So yeah, when this all first happened and my dad was in a home down by me, I would go and see my dad pretty frequently because I was closer. I'd try to go, you know, 4 days a week and spend time with him. You know, I didn't have to do too much, but I would take him to his appointments, or, you know, they would help him get dressed and things in the morning, but I would help him with a shower because my dad was kind of new for him and he was shy about it. And I think he was even shy about having me do it. I mean,
of course.
You know, like, it's, I can only imagine just the transition for him. But so then when we made the call for my dad to move in with my brother and his wife, I was moving out of state at the time and they lived 2 hours north. And so it was kind of like, well, we can't just have my dad just kind of like alone. We didn't want to do that to him. And my brother and his wife, like I said, they're amazing human beings. And they were like, we'll take him. And so they took him in, and this was before they had kids. And so, you know, it was easier then. And, you know, I can't speak for them necessarily and how they cope with it, because I can't imagine that it's easy, you know, having 3 kids that are 7 and under, you know, and then taking care of a parent. I know that it has to be challenging for them. And my heart truly kind of aches for them. But, you know, like, we've had the conversation of like, hey, if this is ever too much, we can put dad back in a home, or we can figure out a different thing. As for myself, you know, because I'm not there as much, I do find that that has been easier on my relationship with my father, because when I was doing more of the caretaking role, it was then like, I'm the enforcer, I'm the parent, he's the child. And it kind of takes a burden on the relationship of parent and child. And so, you know, I can only imagine, like I said, how it is for my brother. I can't speak for him, but now, because I get a little bit of a break, a little bit of reprieve, you know, I can kind of come up and I have the like capacity and the energy to be like, here, like, let me help, let me do this, and kind of, you know, be the enforcer, you know, with saying like, all right, like, we're gonna do this, dad, we're gonna, you know, brush your teeth and shave you and, you know, yada yada and all the things.
It almost feels like some of what you do to relieve the burden really for the two of you is a little bit of turn taking, which I would say, Andrew, probably you and I feel that way as well, right? It's a big, makes a big impact.
Yes.
Yep. Sharing the load for sure. So you live in a yoga world, right? Was this one of the reasons that you started practicing yoga? Because it happened when you were so young.
Yeah. You know, not entirely. I would say that probably like has a play into it. But definitely, you know, like yoga is helpful. I think truly for me, what has been the most helpful is therapy. That is like, I go to therapy once a week. And that has really been my saving grace with dealing with my dad and the situation. And it's still a process, you know, because you kind of like grieve the death of them before it happens, because they're a different person in a sense, you know, like I think same, and I don't want to speak for you guys, but with your mom having, you know, dementia, it's like, this is a different version of her. And so it's great that we get to have our parent. But for me, I think there's this like grieving that I've been working through with who my dad was prior.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying about the therapy, by the way. This is a really important piece. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, truly this is hard. It's hard. Cause like I said, this is stuff I didn't think that I'd have to do till I was later on in life. And, you know, I still have a mom. And so I know that I'm going to have to do this again, but there's so much I've learned now that like, you know, with finances, with planning funeral. I mean, like, we've done all the things with my dad. So this way, like, we're good to go. We're set. Like, everything is in order. And like, you know, just all of that stuff is done. Where like my mom, it's like, we can start to have the conversation of like, what do you want? Like, while she's of sane mind, because who knows, you know, you don't know.
And actually, I mean, talk about a sandwich generation. You're just hitting it so much younger, and as is your brother, because most people don't have very young kids when they're in the midst of this. So yeah, the dress rehearsal piece is probably really helpful for you, but also just very sad and emotional for you to have at this young age. I think your outlook on taking care of your dad is pretty special and pretty wonderful. And I hope that even in any circumstances that he's in, I hope he recognizes how lucky he is to have kids who have done this for him, because I can't imagine how challenging it would be to not be able to have him in your brother's house.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't even imagine what it would be like, you know, just, I can't imagine him not being there now because of the situation. But I also would totally understand if it was too much for my brother and his wife. And then again, we would just take turns on going there and things of that nature. Cause I mean, that is a really big part of it is, you know, the turn taking. I truly think I could do more and wish I could do more, because my brother really does have the 24-hour, you know, care of all of it, which thankfully we're not at the point that it's an active 24 hours, well, you know,
it's nice to know that we're not the only family out there, obviously from different circumstances, that had somebody in assisted living and then moved them back home. And it's great to hear your,
with a brother, your sister
story of it. Yeah. Let's get you out of here on this, Alyssa. If you were going to give some advice to families who were going to encounter this situation, oftentimes it happens without their intentional timing, as it had for both of us, our families that we're talking about here. What are some of the first things that you would advise people to think about or do when something like that is something they have to face with?
First, I think truly would be to definitely just make sure that the decision, whatever decision that's going to be made, is being made for the parent, the person, whoever it is. You guys touched on this on your first episode, but really thinking about them and their needs and what is best, truly best for them. And then, you know, thinking about yourself and your capacity and what you can hold, because I think what I've learned is to truly ask for help and support, because, you know, there's not a rule book to this. There's not a handbook. There's, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that comes up that you're like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do? Like, and I didn't even know how we got here. We just kind of were like, okay, we do this, we do that. We get the VA stuff, we do this stuff, we do that, you know, like, it's just, it's a learning process. But I really think asking for help when you don't know, and, you know, just support is huge. I'm so thankful that I have a sibling to go through this with, because I can't imagine if I didn't.
I agree. I'm going to say, as we say over and over, Andrew, really, and Julie, I mean, we're very lucky that we have each other and that we're all on the same page, and it seems the same for you as well.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes. That's helpful too, is having siblings that you're on the same page with, because I've heard horror stories too, and it's like, oof.
Yes. Sadly, we've learned that that tends to be the norms. Indeed, Andrew, we are all very lucky.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you. We are so honored that you spent your time and shared your story. I know this isn't easy to do. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your brother and sister-in-law and those boys who really are interestingly getting a glimpse into what really good parenting and really meaningful family looks like. And so if we can exit on a positive note, it's that you really are showing them what care and compassion and love looks like. And I think it's really important.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I love that you commented on that with my nephews, because I think this has truly been a cool experience for them to see an older person in a wheelchair. I mean, like, most of the time when you're a kid and you see someone in a wheelchair, you're like, you kind of stare, where they're like very accustomed. They understand. And yeah, this is a great opportunity for them to kind of grow with. So thank you.
Well, thank you, love. We are going to let you go and have the rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
When you see the moon at night, try to find another one that might be better. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies of blue, and the dreams that you knew always would come back to you.
Well, that's a lot of intense caregiving under any circumstances. And then you add in someone so young. But I have to say that I am so impressed with her attitude and her positive outlook. Alyssa feels mature beyond years. And the fact that she really focuses on how she just leads with love. And that other piece that she mentioned about how her father lives with her brother and sister-in-law, that's a lot to take on for a sister-in-law. And then three little kids. But I feel like the way that she described kind of the idea that these are lessons in love for her nephews to see is really pretty incredible. I give them a lot of credit, because I think that we know they are doing the right thing for their dad. And they're doing so with this level of humanity that is really impressive.
Yeah, it's an interesting point about what the kids see as they're growing up. It reminds me a little bit of, there's something about China and Chinese culture that I discovered when I moved there, and which I knew existed, but I was I didn't really realize how embedded this was in the culture, where like, all families live together in the same dwelling. And that's a very common, obviously it's changing as the society grows and people get more money and they're getting their own apartments and stuff like that. But like, it was very common to have grandparents and parents and kids all living in the same house and dealing with life together, as well as aging parents needing care and sharing all those responsibilities. And it's such a different upbringing to like be there and be dealing with all that stuff. And it was very interesting, maybe a little off topic talking too much about China, but like when they left that cultural environment and a lot of people went into their own apartments in high rises, they were a little bit shaken psychologically because they didn't have all these people all around all the time. Even their neighbors were living in the same way and everybody lived in kind of this open area. So in the apartment buildings, what people would do, even though it was maybe an older couple alone in their apartment building, they'd live with the door open. So like, can you imagine that in like an apartment building in the United States? I was staying at a hotel temporarily before I started work at one of my jobs, and I would get back from work and like all the doors would be open in the hallway. And that was just like normal. And I was like, and loud, you know, people on the phone playing music. And I'm like, hey, can I get some privacy here? Like, they're like, what do you mean? What's wrong? And so it's just a totally different world. And just the concept of having more family members around, even though it's in trying times, maybe there's something good about that, that those kids will see and learn. And that can be some silver lining there. But I would also say that similar to Howard, it seems Alyssa is kind of predisposed to being able to handle all this. It's really impressive. Anyone drawn to yoga, as we both know, but especially someone drawn to be a yoga teacher, understands the value of taking a breath to help find moments of peace. And you do need to make yourself take a breath from time to time, which is not easy to do. I'm amazed what she can do for her dad. I just assume I could never do that for mom. My God. But I guess if that was the last resort and it was an emergency, I guess I would have to do it. Please, Lord, let that never happen. But
I'm hoping it never does. But yeah, you're right. I think that, you know, what we're learning throughout this whole process is that I never envisioned myself giving my mom showers and changing her briefs. That wasn't on my trajectory when I was planning out my future. But the fact is, I would never leave her sitting in a terrible situation. And sometimes that is what it is. And you just do it because you wouldn't want someone to leave you in that condition. And I think that when we remember that we're doing right for our loved ones, it maybe makes that a little bit easier. And also, I do think there's a whole piece about just jumping into it. And I mean, it's probably, I'm sure that parents feel the same way, that you do this for your kids because this is what you do. In the same way, we do this for our parents because this is what we do. And we don't even think about it twice. But yeah, she has a long period of history behind her in doing this. And then not to mention what's coming their way. I think it's inspiring. And heartening to see that there are people in our lives who are really doing this work with care and compassion and the deepest levels of love.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is there's lots of family members that are put in a position where that's just something that has to happen and then you have to deal with it. And before you know it, there's Karen with the hose showering mom off to make sure. That's something.
Sometimes you gotta get down to
appreciate it. You know, you find a way to cope with it. And Alyssa is just setting a great example for others to learn from and how to manage being drawn into caregiving.
Beautiful. All right, I'm going to throw in the email address. You might be doing the same. Maybe you want to share your experiences. Maybe you want to ask Alyssa a question. Maybe you have if we used to use this word that I hated so much in public schools, a noticing. Something you noticed that you'd like to bring to our attention. We'd love to hear from you. Email address is ifitsnotone@gmail.com. And on that note, we're going to end this episode and we look forward to coming back and sharing another story with one of our friends in our next episode.
And here's mom to play us out. We'll see you next time.
Someone to watch over me and the words that all I'm thinking about always about